Hey neighbor, this is Valerie, member at the Animal Kingdom, Boardwalk, and the Villas at Grand Floridian, and you're listening to My DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked, pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 115 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Monera Financial. If you're looking to add on and are looking to finance that contract, Monera Financial has got your back. If you're an existing member and you're paying more than 9.9% interest, you're going to want to check out Monera Financial's refinance program. We've helped DVC members save hundreds of thousands of dollars by refinancing at a lower rate. MoneraFinancial.com. Let them know you heard about them here on the My DVC Points podcast. Today's show is some really unique content. Normally what we do is we do a membership report. That's kind of like a trip report, but it expands out over the course of a membership. And people love personal interviews. So today I'm doing a little bit of a different twist on this, as my buddy Caleb posted a question in the My DVC Points producers group to ask advice on add-on-itis. I started looking at the question and some of the answers here, and I thought, you know what? Why don't we just turn this into a podcast episode, see if people like it and can learn something new from this style of show. So without wasting any more time, let's jump into this episode with my buddy Caleb, where we're kind of unpacking his add-on-itis. I'd like to welcome to the show my friend Caleb Allison. How you doing today, Caleb?
I'm doing just fine, Chad. How are you doing today?
I cannot complain. I want to thank you for A, posting this awesome question in the group, and then B, allowing me to come back in and record our conversation here as we start to talk through of it. Now, you're an admin in the group as well, so I would probably just picked up the phone and called you because I have your cell phone number and we're friends anyways. But I figured, why not just make this a podcast episode? Because people love interviews, personal conversations, and we normally talk to people after they've bought. But Caleb, you're smack dab in the middle of add-on-itis, brother. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your situation?
Sure. I own at Animal Kingdom and at Saratoga Springs. And then I also own at Riviera. So my Riviera contract is a direct contract. I bought the Riviera contract to get my Blue Card membership. My Animal Kingdom and Saratoga are both resale. And unfortunately, I missed the January 2019 deadline to get those in. And so those are both under restriction that I cannot use them at the Riviera or other future resorts.
Okay. So you've got a Riviera contract, Animal Kingdom, Saratoga.
And
I'm liking that build out. Okay. Because I love the home advantage that you can get at Animal Kingdom. I love Saratoga for network points, and having a blue card there, kind of important to a lot of people. I would be a blue card owner if I had to do it over again. I just have to really stop and think about how I'm going to do that. Now, add-on-itis is hit. It sounds like from your post, you have 75 points at Riviera, which is not a lot of points to come back in and play in the unrestricted category where you could go to Riviera Reflections or the Disneyland Tower or whatever comes up in the future.
And that is my conundrum right now. When I bought Riviera, it was sight unseen. I bought it back in April before the resort opened, and I was just following the guidelines that I'd heard on this podcast and other blogs that, hey, I'm going to have a mix of direct and resale and just try to get the benefits. But when we went to Riviera for the first time, we absolutely loved Riviera. We love it. But the restriction on it makes me hate it, and I don't want to necessarily add on points to Riviera.
You know, you, me, and a bunch of other people feel the same way there. It's an unfortunate conundrum that we face as DVC members. So we're going to talk through your struggles here. And the one thing I can tell you, Caleb, is I am an expert on my opinion. Okay. That is the only thing I claim expertise to. Okay.
I know some people claim to be experts on my opinion too. So
yeah, that's only our wives and they're usually right.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Other than that, I'll at least tell you what I think. We'll come back in and I'll share some different perspectives that I've seen in the community for things that you to think about as you start to face this problem. But it sounded like 75 points at Riviera isn't going to cut it for you because you love that. And let's just be honest, that only gives you 225 if you bank and borrow.
And we go often enough that really what we're trying to do is just bank and use 2 years of points, and then the next year not use it, and then bank the other contracts. So definitely not working for Riviera. The other part of this is that we are transitioning to a studio family to a one-bedroom family. So 75 points for a one-bedroom at Riviera, or 150 even, doing some banking and borrowing, it doesn't get you very far at all.
Yeah, that's not going to cut it. Caleb, what seasons or times of the year do you normally go in?
We go every year in the summer, and then probably every other year we're there in March during the spring break. We're both teachers, so those are our key times that we go. But every once in a while, the calendar lines up and we get a good weekend and time off from school that we will go after Christmas, just right at that New Year's time. We'll be able to come in before we have to go to school, maybe on the 7th or something like that of January. So kind of Christmas time, but kind of January is where we end up.
Got it. So I'm just looking at the top of the point charts here. And even if you did a standard view room at Riviera, Christmas week, you're looking at 211 points. You could barely pull that off, proper banking and borrowing, which takes a little bit of planning. And then if you wanted to go anyplace else, you're stuck for 3 years out of the new resorts. I don't think it's that big a deal unless you just really love the new resorts and that's where you want to be.
What I'm really looking at is that if I do a Christmas stay, we're probably going to try to stay studio because our Christmas stays are usually significantly shorter. So it might help just a little bit with that.
Okay. You might be able to get by on that, Caleb. And especially Christmas week, you're going to need that home advantage of Riviera to book that right at the 11-month mark if you want Christmas time. So as I look at this, you're good for a studio there. Now, if you wanted to move up to a one-bedroom, it gets ugly. It's more than double.
It gets real ugly. And truthfully, what I'm going to try to do is those Christmas stay, I'm going to try to utilize the Copper Creek points that I'm looking at buying to be able to get into a studio there. But I do know that those are very hard to get at Christmas time, especially. So I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket saying, yes, that's where it's going to happen. If it happens at Copper Creek, then that'd be great.
If we're going to add more points on to get more completely unrestricted points, you've looked at Riviera for adding more on. You've looked at Copper Creek. And why not add more Riviera? Because remember, you love, love, love that resort.
Oh, I love, love, love it. But just like you've said several times, I also look for exit strategies. And it's possible that I might have to dump some points sometime. And at this time, it doesn't look too good for Riviera and the resale value that it's taking. Already, we've seen resale contracts going for $123 a point. And that's not something I would be too excited about.
Yeah, we've also seen them going for $150 last month. But again, that's a small sample size. And we don't know what the market is going to be like in 7 years when 50% of these new owners are hitting the exit button. Okay, because that typically what happens about the 7-8 year itch, people start to come back in and reevaluate this and start to sell. And at that point in time, when all of those things hit the market and you've got people that have had 8 years of buying into DVC that don't have points that can go everywhere, it's going to be a toss up as to what's going to happen. We don't know. So I'm with you there. I do think the Copper Creek points are more likely to hold value longer term, despite the studio limitations of there's not enough of them, and despite the fact that you can't get a fifth or a ninth person into the one bedroom and two bedroom.
That's exactly what I was coming at it from. I think it's going to be a simple supply and demand issue, and there might be a demand for Riviera, but Riviera only, that's a tough sell. Even though that is what every other timeshare essentially does, but we're DVC and we're spoiled, so that's a tough sell.
Yeah, we're spoiled with a glorious exit strategy. That's just part of the product is just so strong when it hits the resale market. Historically, people have said, okay, every restriction they've thrown at it, even this 2019 restrictions where you can't stay in the new resorts, people have looked at it and are like, the best locations are already taken right outside the theme parks. I don't know that you're going to build any more with any better locations going forward. And I'm pretty happy with the locations you've got. So if I just have to stick to these 14 resorts, I'm good with it. Now, have you looked at Old Key West as a direct buy?
Yeah, I did look at Old Key West, actually. That was actually the very first thing that I spoke with my guide about was Old Key West points. And what kind of just had me stray away from it a little bit was the 57 ending date. And then also, I felt like I'm not getting much of a home resort advantage. Even though I'm going to look at using Copper Creek to book, possibly at Riviera, occasionally, I am going to be using it to try and take advantage of home resort at Copper Creek. So I felt like if I went with Old Key West, that I might be losing out on that home resort advantage, as well as the earlier ending date.
Yeah, the reason why I ask about Old Key West is right now it's got one of the smallest gaps from direct to resale, because I think the direct price is more based on the 2042 level. But when you get ready to resell it, you'll be reselling a 2057 contract, which usually goes for about 10 to 15 bucks more per point. That's where I would personally buy in if I had it to do over again, because A, I love the resort, and B, the points are going to take you anywhere that you want to go, and C, it's got a tried and true track record. So we don't have to worry about what's going to happen to the resale value of this contract. We really know what that resort's doing.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a strong place for someone also to buy as well. I just didn't think that it was really fitting with what we were trying to do.
Got it. You're looking more of that you occasionally want to use the home month at Copper Creek versus Old Key West that you can pretty much get into at any point in time.
Correct.
At least at the 7 month mark.
Oh, yeah. And if you're just really wanting to be near the hospitality house, that can be problematic if you don't own there as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's one really good benefit that the owners get there. Okay, so we've taken that one out. Now, have you considered the premium that they're putting on the Copper Creek points? Because they knew with these restrictions coming out on Riviera, they went ahead and jacked up the Copper Creek points just to make it look less attractive. And so you're going to pay about $30 more a point for Copper Creek than you are Riviera right now. But I'm going to look at that and go, extra 30 you're paying now, you could be adding to the Riviera resale if you ever get ready to leave. So it's like you're prepaying that loss now.
That's something that I really hadn't put too much thought into, but I still am very apprehensive about Riviera because things happen in life. And If I am having to essentially dump this contract in the next 4 years, or what'd you say, 90% of people are dumping in 7 years, I'm not so sure that Riviera will hold its value like Copper Creek, even with this adding upfront.
Yeah, you're true. We don't know. That's just the thing of it is. We don't know. I do know it's a beautiful resort, and I'm a little bit jealous of the people who have gotten past that because a beautiful resort.
And unfortunately, we don't have too much of a track record with Copper Creek either as far as its resale, but we do. We have more history to look on its resale value versus Riviera, where it's just one or two contracts every once in a while, and we have really no idea what's going to be happening with it.
Well, right now, Copper Creek's on the uptick, and I was looking at the small point contracts, like you mentioned, about 75 points. They seem to be going for about 165 a point on resale right now, which is pretty spectacular because when I bought in, it was 171 a point with no incentives. And so with my incentives on the Copper Creek that I own, I'm already above water if I tried to sell them today. Okay.
Nice.
So that worked out. And I think that's going to keep holding up for a while. think people are looking at that resort. This is the last of the OG original can stay at 14 resorts contracts. Everything else that's out there is going to have a shorter life than this. So if you want to be able to stay in 14 resorts, you've got the most years left on Copper Creek. So I think that's going to help it in the long term. Okay. I really do. Again, it's all speculation. We don't know. So we've looked at that aspect. Now you had some kind of an element where you've got to decide today, or there's some critical timing factor in here. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So the incentives, they ran out last week on, I believe, the 16th. And back about 2 years ago, when I was first looking into DVC, they were raising the price on Copper Creek. And my guide at the time, she's retired. She told me, she said, hey, since you talked to me already before this price increase, we're going to give you 30 days where you could decide to buy. I ended up not buying, so that didn't really matter to me. But I used that information to just go ahead and try to have a similar hack, for lack of a better word. So I contacted DVC on Tuesday. Incentives ran out on Thursday. And sure enough, I got an email that said, because we spoke last week before the deadline, I have until the end of business today to be able to make a decision. And that I put in a deposit actually right before you and I spoke. And that also gives me an additional 10 days to fully make my decision, because you have 10 days to be able to decide if you're going to keep the contract or not.
Actually, I've got some good news for you. And it's a little bit of a telesales hack along those lines. It's not 10 days if you're going to keep the contract. It's 10 days from the date that it's signed. That's when your rescission period starts. So you could go ahead and have them send you all of the paperwork today.
Nice. I wonder how all that's going to work because they're doing all e-docs now. I imagine it's going to be the exact same, but he did tell me that I should get an email today to start doing the e-DocuSign stuff.
Yeah, I had paper documents at the time, so it'll be interesting to see how e-doc comes into this, but there's still a document that has to get signed.
Okay. Oh, yeah. They want the sale more than just saving the $3,000 or something.
They really, truly, genuinely want and need the sales and are trying to make numbers, okay? So I would look at that and go, for certain, it is by law 10 days from the date you sign it. Now, right. Whether they can pull the carpet out from underneath you earlier now with DocuSign, I don't know. But when I had printed material in front of me, and I know this because I looked at buying some Copper Creek at the last hurrah right before Riviera came out saying this is the final of finals, but I held on to that for 90 days. I was waiting to see if some other business deals in life came through, and I would have had a little bit of an influx of cash to cover that. And it never really came through like I was expecting. So I just walked away from the deal. Okay. Yeah. But I can tell you, you can walk away from the deal at 90 days if you haven't signed the lines and dotted the T's. And because that's the other thing, they have to have them sent back and in their hands, which with DocuSigns, they would get them almost instantly, so to speak. Right. So kudos to them for bringing it up to the 21st century. I know resale's been there a while, but it's something to consider in this process. So we talked about different home resorts, and it sounds like you're still up in the air on that one. And I think that's a really hard choice and decision to make as well. I can tell you, if I was a studio person, I don't know that I would buy Copper Creek. I'm not, and I do own Copper Creek and absolutely love it. Okay. But I also love the fact that those points can go anywhere. And if I had it to buy over again just to get a blue card, me, myself, and my family all loves Old Key West, we would be buying Old Key West. Or my wife would come back in and tweak my arm a little bit and get me to buy Animal Kingdom because she loves the animals. And I know that value and club level access at the 11-month mark is something pretty unique and special. So I would still consider Animal Kingdom as well. It'd still be in my top running, even though it is more expensive than Old Key West. And the gap between direct and resale is a little bit more. I'd probably just pay it. But that's what I would do there. We're going to look forward to hearing what you end up deciding there as well, Caleb. And so we've talked about the different resorts. We talked about Copper Creek and the restrictions. Let's talk about this next question, because you mentioned changing use years.
Right now, I have the use year of a March use year. That kind of came about based on whenever I was thinking, hey, most of our vacations are in March and in the summertime. And whenever I was looking, I was doing the tried and true, hey, get your resale contract first, and then you'll be able to match it up with a direct one. So I found a good resale that I had a nice offer on. My Animal Kingdom was the very first contract that I got. Technically, I had a Copper Creek one that got Roford, and that one would have been unrestricted points, but that got Roford, and I ended up getting this Animal Kingdom contract, and it is a March use year. Now, for the most part, that works just fine, but like I said, probably about once every 3, maybe 4 years, we like to have that Christmas vacation. It usually doesn't line up with our school calendar very well, and also the number of points that we need, but sometimes it does. It did just this last year. We took a Christmas vacation, and when we did it on my March use year points, and I got to tell you, the whole time, after October 31st, it was like every day I was on pins and needles of, I hope we go on this vacation. I hope we go on this vacation. Because if we don't, I have almost no time to be able to try to plan something else. Plus our school calendar, just getting off during that time is nearly impossible. So because of that, I'm looking at this contract being a December use year. What that would do for me is, the December use year banking deadline is July 31st. I never travel in August. Never. School starting up, there's way too much for me and my wife to do. Both of us being teacher, it's chaos in this house come August. So my thought process here is that I'd be able to transfer points between Copper Creek and my other number with the Riviera contract to be able to use in the summertime or to be able to use in March and still be able to meet a banking deadline if something happens where I need to cancel.
That makes sense to me. Here's the only question that I have. Having multiple use years so that you can always have bankable points. When I do a little bit of mapping here and I map out a March use year and a December use year, you still got the month of November that if you were to go for like a Thanksgiving weekend, you wouldn't be able to come back in and bank the points. Or if you went to Food and Wine, let's say in November, after you guys retire, that's a month that you wouldn't be able to bank the points.
Correct. So that's something that I looked at just in general, pre-retirement. Traveling in November is almost impossible. So even our March use year points, they're not bankable in November. If we canceled 30 days out, it would still be within our deadline of October.
To make them bankable.
Because even if they were bankable, if the trip's in November and we cancel in November, they would be in holding anyway. But
okay. That's
why I went ahead and went towards a December use year. Because there is no November use year, and if I go all the way back to an October use year, it pushes my banking deadline to May 31st. So then I'm not covering my summer trips with the new Copper Creek points.
It sounds like you've got November covered by virtue of 30 days in advance gap to avoid holding, okay? And December covers you. If you had it to do all over again today, would you have just bought December as your use year for everything?
It's very possible. However, we do look at going in October. We haven't ever traveled in October, but it was something that we started to look at hey, we'd like to go in October, Food and Wine, the Halloween party, but we had never done it before, so I didn't think too much of it. So yeah, it's possible that we just starting all over, I would have gone with December 1st.
Got it. Okay. And so just looking at this fourth point in your post here, estate planning and exit strategy. Tell me a little bit about that.
What I'm doing is I've got 150 points and I'm splitting it up into two different 75 point contracts. So another little hack, if our listeners don't know, when they have these incentives, you can split it up and make it into two different contracts. you just have to pay a little bit extra on the closing titling fees and things. I believe I'm paying an extra $200 to split it up into two 75-point contracts. Now, ideally...
Which, if you ever do sell the contracts, you'll make it back because smaller contracts sell for more money per point.
Exactly. So when I looked at it, it seems like I'm looking all the time at resales for a great add-on that's just 50 points, 25 points, 75 points. So to me, a 75 point for an add-on is so much more attractive than a 150 or 300 point contract. So yes, definitely. I believe my guide said it's going to be about $250 is going to be the total to make it into two contracts, the price difference on the closing cost. That's exit strategy number one, is just being able to, if I need to, I can sell off one instead of selling off two, and it'll get me a higher resale value on it. Then the other part of this is that I have two kids, and I'm looking at this of, I'm going to keep my Riviera. I get my blue card. I would love to have the money to have two 100-point contracts to be able to get the blue card benefits right off the bat that I give to them. But unfortunately, I just don't have the capital to be able to make it happen. So I'm getting two 75-point contracts with the thought of being able to pass it on to each one of them. And I'll still have my 75 points at Riviera that I get to keep my blue card. Nah, you got to get your own kids. But otherwise, that's kind of my thought process in it, is giving those a head start on their direct contracts when they get older.
Yeah, and the only thing I can say there is that's really a head start, because your Riviera contract is grandfathered at 75 for blue card. These need to be 100 today. So by giving both kids 75, I don't know that I would personally do that. I'd probably look at dividing that up as to a 100-pointer or 350s even, so that you could at least give one kid a blue card from Riviera, one kid a blue card, 100 points out of the other ones, if you were looking at doing that. I don't know that I would give them 3/4 of what they need on today's standard, but by the time they do, it could be 125, it could be 200, it could be whatever. You don't know what the new standards are going to be, so I'd at least get something locked in if it were me.
Yeah, that's something to think about. I hadn't really thought about it like that, but yeah.
Yeah, if I'm going to give them a blue card, I want to give them a blue card, okay? And for those of you who are new listening to the show, a blue card is what enables you to get all of the membership extra benefits. It's what allows you to book a Moonlight Magic Party. It's the card you show to get the 20% discount on merchandise or 10% off on food. So there is some return on investment on your first contract for discounts that you're going to get. In Caleb's situation here, he's paying extra so that his kids could have that going forward and they could be official blue card members if they decided to pick up a bunch of resale later, which by the time they get of age, the resale stuff is going to be so limited. Because you're talking, you got preschoolers now, right?
Yeah, I have one that's just turned 2 last week. And my other one is 7.
So for the one that's 2, you got to fast forward 25 years before they're really on their own. Maybe right. 20. Okay. And at that point in time, we're at 2042-ish. So a whole bunch of resorts have went offline from the resale market. It's going to be a different ballgame there. I originally thought we could plan for that. And then this whole new Riviera resale restrictions thing just changed everything. Okay, let's come back in and look over some of the comments here. I see Shannon Ford wrote, I won't push you either direction. You have to do what's right for you. The only issue I see with Copper Creek is that it is increasingly hard to book at the 11 months during peak times. And she's also not a fan of their one bedrooms. I'm 100% backing you up there, Shannon. Okay. Our buddy Alicia from the Riviera Owner Series comes back in and says, I always say yes to buying points. I'm an enabler. I am no use to you if you want logic. And you replied to that saying, I take advice from the place of passion as well. Our friend Marianne wrote, I'm not going to enable this one, but I will totally celebrate it. Good luck with the decision. And I think that's where most of us are in the Mighty VC Points community. We realize the struggle is out there. And Caleb, we look forward to following up with you on a live or something along those lines later on to see how you wrestled with this decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to plug this post, I actually posted it in the private Patreon club, the producers club. So I want to encourage everybody that's listening to the content, that's enjoyed what Chad has put out, to become a Patreon so you could be part of the producers club as well.
Awesome. Yeah, we do have a private Facebook group for the Mighty VC Points producers clubs, and it's where you can ask a little bit more questions like this. And I definitely take the time to answer all of those questions. I try to touch most of them that are in the normal community group. I can't get to all of them, but if you really want me to answer something, you can post it in that group and it does get the VIP level treatment.
And since we're making a podcast now of it, I'll go ahead and post this in the regular DVC community to see what everybody's thinking.
Sounds like a plan, Caleb. And I'll be looking for an update on there as to what comes out with the timing on the DocuSigns. If you can still get away with that trick of getting the paperwork issued and then just dragging your feet on getting it back. Caleb, thank you so much for being on the show today. Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you were Caleb, what would you do? And I'd also really like to know what you guys think about today's show. Should we produce more content along these lines? I'll tell you right now, I don't have time to do one-on-one phone calls like this with everybody. However, if this becomes a popular format and we can make a show out of this, I would consider doing more of these in the future, but I really want to hear back from the MyDVC Points listeners to figure out what you guys think of today's show. Should we continue doing more of these or just scrap it and look for some other new ideas? I'd like to thank Monera Financial, DVC Rental Store, and DVC Resale Market for sponsoring the MyDVC Points platform. I'd also like to thank Kenzoco for this awesome iTunes 5-star review. Incredible podcast. This is an incredible podcast for anyone looking to buy into DVC. As a new owner at Copper Creek, I listened to this before I bought to hear all of the valuable information from the people that Chad has on the show. Now that I'm an owner, I keep listening because I love hearing the stories and hope to share what I would do with 2,000 of Tinkerbell's points. Thanks so much for that awesome review, and thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you guys can go out there and plan something magical for your families.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.